I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Derek O'Keefe is a longtime writer, activist, author, and broadcaster. He joins me now to talk about a fascinating endeavor that's getting a lot of attention across the country, Ricochet. It's a new web publication that'll be bilingual and that will present current affairs and investigative journalism. As it says on its website, ricochetmedia.ca, its genesis is from the Maple Spring of 2012. And one can expect from a read of its vision, it'll be from a certain side of the political spectrum. But regardless, it's a much-needed forum in our discourse that's suffering from a lack of media outlets. The crowdfunding effort has been widely subscribed to, and its goal of getting to $75,000 is close. I'll get Mr. O'Keefe to update us on the fundraising, as well as tell us about where he sees Ricochet's place is and what will be happening from this end of the country. Derek O'Keefe is heard weekly on Media Mornings, the current affairs program on Co-op Radio 100.5 FM. He wrote a book on Michael Ignatieff, the Lesser Evil, and he co-wrote the memoir of Malala Joya's A Woman Among the Warlords. He was the editor of Rabble.ca from 2007 to 2009 and 2012 to 2013. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Derek O'Keefe. Mr. O'Keefe, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me on the program.
Thanks for joining us. I'm a big fan of Charlie Demers, as I'm sure you are. I guess you guys are godparents to each other's kids, is that right?
He and his wife are godparents to our two little boys. Yeah, so Charlie and I go way back. We were roommates back in the day in 2004, actually, when we started an earlier online publication called Seven Oaks Magazine. We were young and didn't have much business sense or experience then, so the publication didn't really end up being successful financially or a means for a living for any of us, but many of those involved in Seven Oaks Magazine have gone on to big things in media and publishing. Charlie, of course, in the comedy world, as well as being a public figure and commentator on many things in Canada. But we're thrilled to have some of the original team from Seven Oaks back with Ricochet, and also to team up with really exciting cast of writers and editors and activists from across the country, and in particular in Quebec, which is really the birthplace of Ricochet, is the social movements of Quebec over the past few years.
So the premise of Ricochet is that it'll be bilingual. Does that mean that you'll have articles both in English and French simultaneously?
Yes, it means essentially that it doesn't mean that every piece of content is going to be translated and available in both languages.
Okay.
What we're envisioning is two linked and coordinated editions, but that'll still have editorial autonomy. So there'll be an autonomous French and English editorial board, two editorial boards, and then there'll also be a joint board that will, from time to time, around really important issues, put out a common stance, a common editorial position. And then, likewise, when there's a very important article published by the French side of our team, we'll translate it into English and vice versa. So we're not committing to translating every word we publish, but it's going to be it's an experiment, a really new thing in national media in Canada, and something that we think is long overdue. Because especially in English Canada, I think for too long, Quebec has really been a mystery, or just a lot of the politics and social activity, social political life in Quebec gets lost in translation, and often really sort of crudely misrepresented in English Canada. So if I had to guess, I would say there will be more content translated from French into English, because I think that direction and that sort of understanding is maybe more lacking than the other way. In Quebec, many, many people can already read English, and are aware of the English language press in Canada.
So the goal on the crowd fundraising website is to get $75,000. We're talking Monday afternoon. Where are we with that goal?
Yeah, we've got a little less than 2 weeks to go, and according to the Indiegogo page right now, as I'm talking to you, we're at 63% of our goal. So to me, that has exceeded our expectations. We set a lofty, ambitious goal, just because to sort of signal to people that this is a big project, the first time Quebec and English Canada really collaborated in this way, and also a project that intends to pay its writers. So we set a significant goal of $75,000 because we need to be able to pay journalists to do quality work and reporting, and also because we want to build a state-of-the-art website for once we fully launch. So even more exciting than the fact we've almost reached 50,000 of our 75,000 goal with a dozen days left, even more exciting for me is the fact we have over 800 individual donors. Like the average donation, or I would say the median donation right now is $25, which gets you a membership of Ricochet. There's been a few, maybe two $1,000 donations, but the vast majority are small donations by people with not a lot of disposable income. But to me, the fact that 800 people have already given to this project that isn't even publishing yet, I think it shows that there's a thirst for new and more diverse media in Canada and Quebec, and probably a lot of curiosity and interest about the fact that we're trying to do this bilingually and across cultures.
This desire for a new forum for media and the sort. I mean, why has there been a need for Ricochet? I mean, is it because of say the corporate media and how that's concentrated, or the public became apathetic at one point and just started to not pay attention, and now they realize that we ought to?
I think it's a little bit of both parts of that. I mean, the one thing is just a lack of diversity in terms of the point of view that's really being pushed in most of the major print media, especially. You can take the Ontario election as an example. It's coming up later this week. Three of the four biggest papers in Ontario and, you know, the two national newspapers in this country have endorsed Tim Hudak of the Conservative Party. And only the one, the Toronto Star, has endorsed Kathleen Wynne, the Liberal candidate. None of the big papers have endorsed the NDP. And that's really par for the course. If you look at the last federal election, I think around 30 of 34 or 35 of the major national papers endorsed Stephen Harper and the Conservatives, who only had a majority, who only won a minority of the vote, 39%, but 90-plus percent of the media endorsements of major newspapers. So partly there's an imbalance there that we want to fill, and, you know, as you say, we're proudly from the progressive side of the political spectrum. But also I think there's a need for new outlets that are committed to paying journalists and giving journalists the time and the resources they need to do investigative work. There's this trend towards, and partly it's the technology, the declining revenue from print ads and the sort of the rush for online clicks and the tendency for publications to go with clickbait and aggregating other people's content just to drive traffic. There's this whole sort of negative tendency that we've seen with the transition to online, and I think it's not tapping the true democratic potential and role of media. And for media to be useful and to be part of the democratic conversation in Canada, journalists have to have time to investigate stories. They have to have time not just to regurgitate press releases, but to really take an adversarial approach to what corporations and government are saying and try to go deeper and dig out the real stories. So we're not anticipating a hectic publishing schedule, trying to be on top of breaking news. We really want to step back, cover things a bit more in depth, and try to fill holes where that other media are not currently willing or able, issues that other media are not really willing or able to pay attention to right now.
So Ricochet won't have cat videos or lists of places to eat or, say, pictures of celebrities, right?
Yeah, this is a pretty wild experiment. We're going to try to do it without cats and listicles. Maybe just the occasional listicle, but it'll be for a very good reason, not celebrity gossip.
Now, you mentioned a membership for $25. What does that involve, and what do you get for $25? Do you have to have a membership to, say, to read the articles? Or
no, we don't believe in paywalls. We're trying to do this without paywalls. So all the major articles will be available to the general public and everyone to read free of charge. The membership, however, will get you a more participatory involvement with the site. You'll be invited to special online sessions with members of the editorial team. You'll be your interest will be pulled around particular issues that you'd like to see us cover. Essentially, you'll have more input. You're not going to be really a part of the editorial board, but in a way, you'll be involved in the decisions of the editorial board and have a chance to have your say. But as anyone at $25 or up gets that level of participation and involvement. So there's no way that someone can buy extra influence by giving us $1,000. $1,000, you just buy our eternal gratitude and Although with the Indiegogo fundraiser, we will take you out for a nice dinner with our editorial team for $1,000. But the idea is that this is a democratic mechanism and a way to involve our readers in the process. $25 for a year is pretty minimal. That's just five or six lattes around town here in Vancouver anyway.
Yeah, yeah. I want to give you the chance to respond to an article that Jesse Brown wrote following the program he did with your colleague Ethan Cox last week. I guess Ethan, he heads up the Quebec side, is that right?
No, there's a French editorial team that's
I see.
Autonomous. Ethan is based in Montreal, but he's on the English editorial team.
I see, okay. So he went on Canada Land, Jesse Brown's podcast last week, and they talked about Ricochet's genesis. They also went into issues of your leave-taking at Rabble, which is not something that I want to get into. But it's something that both Mr. Cox and Mr. Brown discussed. In the article subsequent to the show that they did, Jesse makes a couple of points that I think are worth responding to. And I'll read them and then get your view. He writes here, "If Ricochet is aiming to inform Canadians about the things the rest of the media won't report on, they should start coming clean about their own origins. A second quote, starting by hiding the full story is a lousy way to kick things off." Do you agree with Jesse's view?
Well, what Jesse's referring to are the real specifics of a dispute that I had, and I guess to a lesser extent, or another, you know, that Ethan also had. But the dispute was isolated to the one member or a couple of members of Rabble's management,
mm-hmm.
and it's not something that we want to discuss further at this time. We're both incredibly excited to be working with this team of journalists. And really the project, as I say, was born in Quebec. A few of us have migrated over from Rabble, where we used to work, but, you know, it wouldn't be fair to the team of journalists we've assembled, including a lot of young writers and emerging voices here on the West Coast, to get into a big thing with Rabble management. That's sort of in the past. And the other thing is that we have a ton of respect for the writers that are still with Rabble and have an outlet there. And, you know, we're friends with a lot of the writers and staff. And in general, the independent media world in Canada is so small, we really believe in fostering cooperation and mutual support.
But there is an allegation.
But I would say that Jesse Brown, I think, was doing his job and doing an excellent job as a journalist, you know, looking for maximum disclosure. And I give him kudos for that.
I guess Rabble is denying a certain allegation, and Jesse says that why not reveal what you have? I mean, he thinks that's what ought to be done. You know, we take him as sort of the arbiter of the media nowadays. He's sort of the ombudsman of media.
Jesse Brown is the ombudsman of media?
Well, I would suspect that he's the closest thing we have nowadays, isn't it?
We could do worse. We have a real lack of good media critics in this country with a platform like that. His podcast is a great resource, for sure.
So you don't think that whatever information you have about censorship at Rabble, that you wouldn't reveal that now or any time in the future?
I'm not interested in getting into more of a discussion on that right now. I mean, if the management at Rabble insisted or wanted to push it further, we might have to look at that at a later date. But as I said, right now I'm personally thrilled to, everyone knows I didn't leave my past editing gig in a good way or under good terms, but, you know, I'm just thrilled to be working with this talented and really young crew on Ricochet. So that's all we're going to say on it for now.
Now, who have you got contributing from Vancouver? Because I've seen some of the names, and the writers that we've seen on other websites and the sort. I understand Mr. Mullins, Garth Mullins, is part of this as well?
Yeah, Garth was kind enough to join us as an advisor. I guess he's our most experienced radio journalist that's going to advise us when we move into podcasts and audio on the website. As you may know, he's an award-winning radio journalist and does a lot of work with CBC Ideas now. We have Garth Mullins. On the print side and on the editorial committee itself, we have, I guess, five or six of us here on the West Coast. We have Michal Rozworski, who's now based in Victoria, but also splits his time here. He's a young progressive economist and just started blogging really in the last couple of years, but already his writing is having a real impact, and he's one of the top researchers in the country. We have Melissa Fong, who is also an emerging voice, mostly focused around housing issues, downtown Eastside and Chinatown issues in Vancouver. But she is a PhD student and just has a wealth of knowledge on a whole range of topics and is a really fresh voice that's stirring things up in Vancouver politics. And we're really delighted to have Melissa on the team. Let's just go through the whole bunch. Charlie Demers, we already mentioned. People know him from CBC Debaters and his book, Vancouver Special. Thrilled to have Charlie. Also, Jahanzeb Hussain, who's a young Pakistani, I guess he just graduated, I was going to say student, but who's going to be covering South Asia for us, and sort of one of the only people in Canada writing about the politics of Pakistan and Afghanistan and the wider region. And then we also have Erin Peter, who formerly was an editor with The Leveler, a community campus newspaper in Ottawa, and she rounds out the Vancouver editorial team. Those are the contributing editors, but we have sort of a wider network of writers that have indicated they want to contribute to Ricochet. And so you'll be seeing all of those folks and many more in the months ahead from the West Coast. And then there's the rest of the country and Quebec, as mentioned.
Now, will you be covering, say, the municipal election in the fall?
Yeah, we'll be covering it. We'll definitely look at different angles to take there, and we've already started thinking about that. I'm sure Melissa Fong will have things to write about it, and others will look into it as well. But as I said, like, we won't be, our stories won't be, you know, here's what Gregor Robertson said yesterday, and here's what the NPA counted with. Our stories will be more in-depth and try to pick up on angles that the local media aren't covering in the day-to-day news cycle.
Now, this past weekend in Vancouver, there was a march with regards to the Enbridge pipeline. I understand that you were there. What do we expect from the Harper government in the next few days? I understand that there's some sort of deadline coming up in 9 days.
Yeah, our understanding is they have 10 days to approve or decline this project, Enbridge, which Harper's been doing everything humanly possible in the past few years to make easier for Enbridge to be approved. There may be another way out for Harper to punt this issue down the road a little bit. We're not sure exactly of the legalities or what might be coming from the federal government, but there may be a way for them to delay the final approval decision in order to say that the company will consult more with First Nations or look more at tanker safety. Basically, there may be a way for them to buy time. But there's a big announcement coming from the federal government in the next few days, and I don't want to give away too much because we haven't started publishing content yet, but we will have something this week that'll make clear our views on Enbridge. This is really, you know, maybe the most important political issue in the country right now, certainly the most polarized in terms of the future of Canada's economy and energy and oil and pipelines in this country. So I think what happens with Enbridge will have a huge, huge impact on the future direction and the pace of expansion of the Alberta tar sands, something that people all over the world are concerned about because of the impact on climate change. So, yeah, and it's also an issue that unites people on the East Coast and the West Coast. Because the pipelines are so unpopular out west here, they've really sped up proposals to start moving tar sands oil east. There's the Energy East proposal from TransCanada. There's Enbridge's Line 9 reversal. There's various other pipelines coming down at us. So, yeah, Ricochet will definitely make clear statements and do a lot of investigative journalism. We also have a couple of reporters investigating oil and pipeline issues right across North America, and that'll be some of our first content published in the next month or two as well.
Now, Media Mornings, you're still involved with that, right?
I am, yeah. I'm the Friday morning co-host. Actually, Jahanzeb Hussain, one of the other editors, is my co-host on Fridays.
Yeah, that program has a great following in this city, and unfortunately not all of us know about it. Would you tell us about it?
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's very kind of you. We often don't give enough importance to local community radio, and, you know, I've been volunteering for 2-3 years as a host and commentator on Media Mornings. It's Monday to Friday, 7 to 8 a.m., and, it's a place where we interview people that don't get enough airtime on the mainstream media. If you think back 3 years, we were covering the Enbridge pipeline debate before on Media Mornings on Co-op Radio, really before that story had hit the mainstream in a big way.
Yeah, and people can download that off of the Co-op Radio website.
You can get the podcast at w2media.ca, and you can listen, as I say, every morning 7 to 8 a.m. on 100.5 FM CFRO Co-op Radio. Some of the other hosts are David T. Ball, another great local journalist who works with the Tai and others. He hosts 2 days a week. Erwin Usinde hosts, and also James Lee. So, yeah, it's a great community resource, and we have to support nonprofit and member-driven media like Co-op Radio.
Yeah, I've heard a couple of the podcasts, because I don't get up that early, but I do. Whenever Charlie's on from the Strait, I mean, I enjoy him, and
some Charlie does Thursdays. I was going to say it's hard for the host to get up that early some mornings too, so it is a challenge. But that's why podcasting is so great.
Well, I appreciate you coming on to talk today about your activities, especially Ricochet, because it's really exciting to see people start something new, as well as see the response that people have been giving it, and who are interested in what you'll all have to report. Good luck with everything, Derek.
Well, thank you so much, and I'll just let your listeners know they can go to ricochetmedia.ca to find more information about what we've been talking about. And thank you so much for the work you do with the commentary.
Thanks very much. Ricochetmedia.ca, of course, and then coopradio.org. Derek O'Keefe joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunder.